morning. Welcome to the morning show on WRCO Radio. I'm Ron Fruit. If I would sit down and take a futuristic look at a journal and say, someday this will be a morning show I will do, this wouldn't have been one of them. My guest today is Mary Buford. That is her pen name. Her voice will be familiar, and you had just a little sneak peek of her laugh, which also was very familiar. Tammy Kilby, a former graduate or a graduate of River Valley High School and a former employee of WRCO Radio, is back with us on the air today, not to be a disc jockey, but to talk about her writing and the things that she's doing now. Welcome back, Tammy. Good to see you.
Thank you, Ron. It's good to be home. It really is.
I was going to say, you're back in front of a microphone. It's been a few years, hasn't it?
It has been almost 10 years,
Ron. Has it really?
I did the math. It took me a little longer nowadays, you know. So almost 10 years. I couldn't believe it. It just seems like yesterday that we were in the old building and, you know, you were bringing me something to say, here, don't forget to mention this on the air tonight.
If I would have said to you in 10 years, you will come back and be a guest on the air, and you'll talk about having written not one, but two books, you'd have told me to go jump in Lake Bowman, wouldn't you?
Actually, it took me a few years, but I started the first book and thought, maybe one day I will publish. Maybe one day. But no, I would not. If I would have thought, wow, I get to be a guest on the morning show. I've listened to the guests on the morning show. All have been wonderful up till now. And hopefully I'll do
okay. They are now, too. Did you like English? Did you like writing when you were a student in school?
I did. Honestly, English was something that I'm very favored in, especially high school. I was in journalism. One of our assignments in high school, I don't remember the year, we had to write a journal, and I would write pages and pages.
You liked it.
I loved it. And I would write my thoughts down, and not many people saw them, of course. But just to get your thoughts out on paper. And sometimes the inspiration doesn't come right away. Sometimes that inspiration comes in the middle of a sentence and you think, oh, I know what direction I'm taking this. And writing is no different. And even chapter to chapter, you know, it's the same.
Did you ever go back and have you gone back and read that journal? Do you still have it?
I don't have it. Actually, I lost it in the meantime. Somewhere along moving when I was 18 to now whatever age I wish to not disclose. But those that graduated with me know about how old I am. So,
when you thought about writing, was it a motivation to be able to share with others? Was it a desire to share your own thoughts, Tammy? You know, where did that desire come from?
First, it was my own thoughts. And then I thought, well, what if somebody picked it up and read it? Maybe I should write like I'm talking to them. And, you know, when I was the oldest of my family, I used to tell stories to the younger kids, and there was always this character or that character. And I never thought, oh, maybe I should put them in books. Even now, I recently thought, should I put those in books now, even? Talking to people and telling a story, I want them to be maybe not inspired so much, but to tell the story, to give an idea of, oh, this person. And, you know, I reach my inspirations from all over, and people are so excited to hear, oh, I put your name in my book. Oh, really? What character am I? Not your personality, but I just borrowed your name. Or vice versa, where I use their complete character. And, oh, by the way, you're this person. And of course, they're eager to see who they are and what they're doing in the book. So
your faith plays a role in your books, doesn't it?
My faith plays a role in my entire life. At one point, I can say honestly that it didn't, and it wasn't important to me, and now it really is. Even now, I'm remarried, and finding that person that is Catholic and believing the things that I believe was vital. You know, you can't have a life unless you have the happy home life, and you really have to focus on what you believe in and kind of go from there. And that really shapes us who we are in public as well. And it's really, really faith-based. They really are. There's priest that's the main character in the first book, and he comes back in the second book, and he's playing a small part in the third book. He's getting older, so of course his roles fade out, but he has different roles, as all of them do. So, yeah.
Was it your faith that caused you to write the book, or did your desire to write help strengthen your faith?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to say both. I liked to write first. The writing came first. And then it was what to write. Do you write something that people want to read? Do you write something that you want to tell them? And it's really 50-50 on both of those.
But I think about just the whole aspect of writing. Did you feel a bit vulnerable when you first said, here's something, I'm going to let somebody else read what I've written, and what if they don't like it?
I have. I still do that. I do that with the second book. I have found, even in publishing, they don't have the same views. And well, I'm not Catholic, but I think this is right. No, I know it's right. You just go ahead and make sure I've got everything correct and everything is, you know, as it should be. But faith is certainly there. I mean, these are faith-based books. Yes, there are flaws in people, as there are with everyone that we know. But to have that faith and to have that I'm really trying, that's the way I think we really all are. And my characters are no different than that.
Are the books understandable and appropriate for those that are not of the Catholic faith, Tammy?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. In fact, they're not even listed as fictional Catholic. Mm-hmm. They're listed as Christian. Because anyone who believes in God, believes the Bible, believes, you know, the Jesus story, and I say story as in, you know, some don't believe it, they're going to get it. There's just, everybody knows what priests do, having a pretty good idea of their roles in our lives. So,
well, our quiz this morning for Phil was on sparrows, but it really didn't, there were no answers in your first book on that, but there were other things. Yes.
No, there were not. However, the sparrow does play a part in a dream in the first book. So yeah, no, even if you read it, it wouldn't have helped you with Phil. No.
So where did the name of your first book come from?
The name of my first book is kind of an interesting one, and I know you've had this topic on the air, so hopefully your listeners don't mind. Broken Wing Sparrow is a phrase that my girlfriend used to use when she was feeling broken down. She was in an abusive marriage, and Broken Wing Sparrow was our code word, so he didn't know what she was talking about. And the person in the book, there's two people that are broken down in the first story. And I use that thought with, wait a minute, now I can put this in the dream sequence and I can make it understandable for the readers. So there's, of course, you play the part of which one is the broken wing sparrow, and you see broken people come together in faith that makes them stronger people. And that's where the name came from. So that's a sensitive issue that a lot of people don't wish to discuss, but that honestly is where the first came from. And the second one, of course, will come from, we'll get into the story with that one a little bit, but that one, the second one's a little more understandable. But the first one, yeah, that was kind of a little secretive, but no one else really seemed to question that. Mm-hmm. So.
But it meant something to you when you were writing it, didn't it?
It did. It meant something. And I just, you know, you think about people, you pray for these people. And at the same time, I wanted to get some of my frustration of her situation out. You can only do so much to help people. And luckily, she's not in that situation anymore. But there was the effort, and I had to try to help her. And in doing so, writing also helped me as well, and kind of think through that and what kind of situation that was. So it also put some personality into the first book that was a little bit darker, but it's a little bit reality. So I think people, readers especially, can relate to that at some point in everybody's lives, I think.
Where did the pen name Mary Buford come from? Is it significant?
It's very significant. Mary Buford were my grandparents, Mary and Buford Kilby. They're both very religious people. Grandpa was not originally Catholic. Of course, Grandma was raised with her Irish roots Catholic since, you know, as far back as they can remember through the generations. And they were just very faithful people, and not just church-going people. There are church-going people, yes. But it's the way they treated people outside of there. You did not walk in their house without a hug. Whether you were family, friend, neighbor, or someone they had never met before. You were welcomed with coffee. You were welcomed with something to eat. Maybe that was the thing back in the day. I think we
hospitality
can kind of
really, then was important to them, wasn't it?
It was huge. It was big. And Grandma was a teacher. And that just treating everybody with that, that equality. And you could see God in them, in the way they treated people. And I know that, and like all of us grandchildren can honestly say, there was not a day that went by that you ever had to question how they felt.
Did you get to spend much time with them?
I did. Grandpa, I'm the only one that remembers Grandpa. So for the rest of them, I feel like I'm the one that gets to tell them Grandpa stories. Mm-hmm. But Grandma was 10, 11 years now. So I spent a lot more time with Grandma. But she really shaped things. She was very spiritual. She was very believing in the other, you know, world. Heaven was very much real to her. It was walking beside her every day. She wholeheartedly believed it and drew us into that and said, well, I'm going to show you that it exists. And she does exactly that every single day.
Did she ever get to know the chance you were going to write the book?
No.
She never. Have you ever wondered what she would think?
She would say, make sure you use good penmanship.
The teacher would be alive and well.
The teacher would be alive and well. She was very much penmanship. That was very significant to her, as the teacher was very much at home with her. She had the yardstick, and she would walk around tapping it on her hand, and she would say, Tammy, did you practice your penmanship today? And I would say, no, Grandma, but I know you have paper and pen. I'll get right on that. So it would, and write a sentence, just write something for me. So I think that if she were here, that would be important.
She'd be pleased.
She would be very pleased. In fact, when I worked at WRCO Radio, there was not a single person in Highland that was not tuned in to 100.9 FM in the evenings listening to the Love at Night show. And she would say, now that's my granddaughter. You are going to listen. The gentleman that used to sell her the eggs from his farm, I remember coming to the, I did not know this man. And again, with Grandma's the way she was, come up and just hugged me right away and said, you're the one that works at the radio station. I recognize your voice. And I'm so sorry for your loss, but it is really glad to see you. So, you know, there was that expectation, mm-hmm. of course.
Well, obviously they respected your grandma. That was a good thing.
Grandma was very a respectable person, and not just how she treated people, but how she treated herself. How you treat yourself and how you carry yourself does mean a lot to how people will treat you. I believe. And that's not always the case. Of course, you know, we're going to have those. But she carried herself with pride. She used to do so many things. She grew up a farm girl and could do those things. And yet she could dance with just the essence of ease. And she was just very well carried and well groomed as a person. So
the former Tammy Kilby is our guest on the air today. Her pen name is Mary Buford. We're talking about her books. How did you go about getting them published?
Actually, I'm self-published. I looked online for different. The first one was my big experience where I had to look and really look and think, what is it that I want to do? What do I want to have come from this book? So I found iUniverse is who I published with, the first one. And they're very, I can't say they're a bigger company, but they are more, have more employees. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, you have this person do this, and this person does this. And nothing went by without my initials and signature, and everything had to be just so. And it was, it costs, you know. And so it was important for me to get that first one out. I had an editing issue, and you'll might see that in the book. Maybe you won't. People kind of read over some of that. And with the second one, I actually went to a local author. I'll just mention his name briefly, Dan Bumkamp, mm-hmm. and said, who do you publish with, Dan? I would like to publish with somebody that you publish with. You know, he's respected, somebody that people are familiar with, maybe have that same kind of rhythm rhyme as they read. So, and I had published with Love Said Publishing for my second book then.
That go well?
It did. Smaller company, a little more, you know, hands-on.
Personal?
Yeah, a little mm-hmm. more personal, yeah. Somebody who could call you and say, this is what I think we should do.
Sounds good.
You know.
We'll take a break on the program today. We'll talk about the current book that is out. And Tammy, after the program today, will be here at the studio. So if you'd like a book, you have some with you.
Yes, I have both.
You can purchase. You could have a signed copy. You can just stop in and say hi, talk about the book, whatever you would like. And you'll be welcome to do so as soon as the program's complete this morning at 10 o'clock. This is The Morning Show on WRCO-FM. Welcome back to our morning show visit today on WRCO Radio. When you pick up her book, it will say Mary Bruford, Buford. I will tell you that Tammy Kilby, the former Tammy Kilby, is our guest on the program today. And of course, she has been a staff member at WRCO Radio, worked for a good number of years and held down our night shift here at the station. Since though, she has taken up writing, among other things. And we're talking about, in this part of the program, her brand new book. You can learn more at marybuford.com. Or if you'd like to stop down and see Tammy as soon as, or Mary, whichever you prefer. It right. won't come out even if I try. Right. If you want to come down and see Tammy as soon as the program is complete, you're welcome to do so here at the WRCO Studios, 1900 Highway 14 East, Richland Center. Your second book is Broken Wing Dragon.
Yes.
Is there a continuation or a theme, or is it designed that even if we didn't see Mary Buford on the title, we would know that it is a Mary Buford book?
Yes. First of all, both books can go together or they can go separate. It's kind of like seeing a series of paintings on a wall, and they all look similar and they all have the same flavor, but you could take one off, purchase it, go put it on your wall, and it would look simply beautiful. That's in my thoughts, that's how it is. The two main characters are Father Lance Thomas and Bishop Donald Hein, spelled H-E-I-N. And those two people exist in real life, not the namesake, just the personality, but they are both present in the first and the second book. The first book focuses on the priest himself. It focuses on a priest's life. It focuses on his joys of being one with God, knowing his whole role in life. And that's with any of us. You know, once you have your God-given talents, you use them wisely, and things just fall into line for you. The second book brings the priest back to save some teenagers that are doing things that they should not be doing. And I use teenagers in the second book, not because I think they're less intelligent than adults, but because I think they have less feeling when they jump into things, like, oh, let's just do it. They're a little more acceptable to trying new things, and change doesn't scare them. In fact, it's more of an adventure. So, yes, they can run separately, or you can read them together. If you wish to know more about the character and the way that he assists them and the power that he has, you'll read the first book and you'll understand that a little better. It'll be a little more insightful.
As a mom, you are darn proud of the covers of your books, aren't you?
I am. My daughter, Emily, is the artist on both of them. She is the artist. She loves to doodle, draw, paint. It's just everything. And she has done wonderful. Her artwork graces the cover of both of these books. And as I'm writing the third book, Ron, she is already with ideas of how Mom's next book is going to look. So I'm very proud. I see that little bit of spark in her. And when she goes on in life, she is going to minor in art, and she hopes to one day, on her side job, have an art studio. And I said, well, you're welcome to take the covers. They are yours. She owns rights to them. I've made that legally possible for her. I said, you are already one step ahead of most everyone else that wants to be an artist at your age.
So did she ask to do the covers, or did you say, would you like to?
The first one, she said, I wonder what that sparrow would look like. I know, I can draw that for you. I have my homework done. Can I do that for you? And I said, sure. And so I thought it's going to be a little kid doodle. And it was, but it was placed on the cover as such. I said, you know, I kind of really like that. And then she is infatuated with dragons. And she draws the dragon eye. And that's a practice. You know, everybody in art has that one thing that they can do, and they just sit down and just do it. And everyone kind of goes, oh, yeah, that belongs to them. That's their work. And she loves dragons, and so that's her focus. She can draw. She's probably sitting in an art class right now drawing a dragon. That's what she does. She has just that ability to see these things that we believe exist, and she can do that. And as a result, though, she didn't read the second book because the dragon is supposed to be the bad guy. It represents Satan in our lives.
I was going to ask, why Broken Wing Dragon? Why is that an appropriate title for book number two?
Well, I'll give you a little bit of insight on the story. These teenagers come across an abandoned, and if for all of you that know me, you know I like seeing and taking pictures of abandoned homes and places that are no longer lived in, and kind of drawing that old story. And this came from that passion. These teenagers come across an old abandoned church, and curiosity would just get the best of us, all of us, to just wonder what was going on, to see that old colored glass windows, to look at it, it has a gothic feel. And there is a gargoyle type creature above the door, and it is a winged dragon. And one of the wings is broken and lying in front of the door, so they have to find their way into the church other than using the front door, which probably saves them a little bit in the end. But the dragon itself represents Satan. It is a Satan-worshipping cult. It is not a Catholic, or it is not a Christian. It is not a good believing church. It was somebody using people for their own personal gain and a worship of Satan to kind of cover his own tracks is what originally, when you delve into it, that's what it's about.
So where'd the storyline originate?
The storyline originated from experiences back. There's like, you think about people following things such as Ouija boards, spells. There was a point in my life where these things were presented to me, where I stepped away from the church and questioned, is this really, where is my life going? Where? And we all have that, whether religious or not. We all want to focus and do for the good. And I had stepped away at one point and thought, well, where's the proof of all of this? I want to believe, but where's that proof? And I think a lot of people feel that same way. You know, there's self-appointing atheists. I call them social atheists, and maybe that's just their way of taking the responsibility of not attending a church service or a mass. And these things were presented in a way that it was almost like another religion. And I thought, what if I would have, and I think now, what if I would have delved more into that? How would my life have changed or been different? Would I be sitting here doing something that I like and enjoy and I'm, you know, successful at? Would I have that marriage that I have? Would I have a child that is happy and can do what she wants in life? Or would I be under someone else's thought spell in a negative way? So I wanted to kind of pull anyone that had that type of situation in their lives, whether it not even be the objects themselves, whether it just be that type of individual that just wants to control, or, you know, kind of pull them out of the darkness into the light and say, okay, there is a way out. You can seek help. And that's, of course, where the priest from the first book comes into play, where they're kids and they're not really sure about religion and they're just not quite sure, and the darkness presents itself. But then if they look around, so does the light. And so it was a matter of choice, and it was a matter of finding that right person to help them through that.
The book is not a difficult read. It's not like a theological study that you would have in an advanced seminary class. It is people can sit down and just enjoy the words, can't they?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, yeah, it's just the story itself. I don't delve too much into the negative. You actually hear the thoughts of the girls. You hear the thoughts of the priests. You hear everything that comes into play. The bishop comes into play, like, all right, we got this. you know, God has our shoulders. Let's do this. Let's help these kids out. So yeah, it's not going to be a difficult read at all. Anyone can sit down, relax, read it and say, okay, I can remember things like that in my own life. They can reflect well upon the story itself.
So when you started to write Broken Wing Dragon, book number 2 in your series, did the end come as you thought it would?
No.
It didn't.
No, it did not. I had it all planned out. I had little notes, kind of, this is how I think things will go. And as I wrote the story, other things came into play. Because as you know, in real life, Ron, you're not the only one at WRCO. There's other people that are also here with you. And so as I'm writing other characters into the story, all of a sudden there's a mom, there's a dad, there's people at church, there's people in the town, there's other people. Well, there's other situations, and at one point there's just different people. There's a gentleman introduced to the story, and at first he didn't have that big of a role. In fact, he didn't even have a name. And then I wrote him a name and started thinking, I need another person to tie in the end of the story. And as I began to write him into the story a little bit, all of a sudden the story took a different turn, and I thought, wait a minute, I need to somehow not only end the story, but I need to end the book. It's not going to go on after the last chapter. So how can I finish this? How can I bring the peace? So there are people that come in, and you go throughout the story and you almost forget about them, and then they come in and you think, oh, they were there the whole time. Now I see what I can do with the story. And so that's how the ending came about. It was completely the opposite of what I wanted to do with it. I wanted to have that happy little merry way of ending it. And then it had to go darker before it had to get brighter. And then all of a sudden there was peace. And then, so yeah, it was a completely different ending. I was writing and I thought, oh my goodness, I can do it this way. This makes more sense. And I think the readers will understand it better. And so that's the way I went with it.
Was it an entirely different journey in book 2 than what it was in book 1?
Oh yes. As in the whole writing and the whole story, everything is completely different. I have a little more of what I know is to be expected of me. And even as I'm writing book 3, which I am
to be expected
doing,
of you as Mary Buford, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly. But story writing as well is easier now that I've did the first one. The first one was, wow, I did a book. And then the second one is, wow, what can I do with the second book? And now the third one is, I'm drawing in from my own experience to say, here's life, and here's a story to go with it. So it's gotten a lot easier. It really, it has. And I've learned from people that have both been excited for both books and have been critics of both books, either one or the other, or just, I didn't like the way you did this, so I think we should do it this way, and then I do it that way. And
you learned from both, didn't you?
I did. I learned from both experiences. And the third one I expected to go easy peasy, but we both know how life really goes.
MaryBuford.com. You can learn more if you'd like to stop in and meet Tammy. In fact, you have books with you that people can purchase this morning, don't you?
I do.
Yes.
Broken Wing Sparrow is the first one, and that is $10. And Broken Wing Dragon I have with me as well. That is the most recent. That just came out a couple of months ago. I don't know if it's on many bookstores, but it will be. And that is $15. So for $25, you can have both, either or. Just meet with me. If you're not a reader, hey, just stop in and say hi if we know each other. You know, I've got a few hugs stored up for the Richland area, so hey, I'm here for a little while, and then I have to head back home, and it was quite the foggy drive, Ron.
Oh,
let me
no
tell
kidding.
You.
Yes, it was.
I had quite the experience over the bridge by Spring Green. It was, I only want to share this because I was, as the writer, I was like, how could I put this in a story? There was no bridge. It didn't look like a bridge. It was so fog over the Wisconsin River that I just drove into the cloud. And I thought, oh good, as I got into the cloud, oh, there's still the bridge here. And I thought, that was magical. I want to write that in a book. Well, maybe I don't have clouds in the third book, but maybe in the future.
Oh, you can stop down and meet Tammy starting at 10 o'clock this morning. Her book, Broken Wing Dragon, that is the new one. She writes under the name Mary Buford, and we'll continue our conversation on the morning show in just a moment. Thank you for making the morning show a part of your day. It's a privilege to be able to share your day. Our guest today is the author of Broken Wing Dragon and Broken Wing Sparrow. Broken Wing Dragon is the newest book for Mary Buford. That is her pen name. But as I've mentioned, a former member of our staff, Tammy Kilby, who graduated from River Valley High School and formerly lived in this immediate area. For you, we know already that you are working on book number 3.
Yes.
Sharing book number 2 is important. You'll be doing that here today and otherwise. And really to be able to do that at marybuford.com, that's what that's about. But as an author, is it harder work to write or harder work than to go and take what you've written and say, here, would you read my book? You know, let me know what you think, you know, to really, because you are your own promoter, aren't you?
I really am. I am. It's harder, honestly, to do the promotion part. It's difficult for, I think, anybody to say, well, I did a good job on that, or I could have done things differently. But at the same time, here's my book. I want everyone to read it. I want 100 reviews. I want to know that feedback actually helps me. And I didn't receive as much feedback on the first one. I gave away 20 books, Ron. 3 people read it, and I got 1 review. So, you know, I've learned from this experience. Lesson number 1 was that. But I do. I promote. MaryBuford.com is mine, my own creation. I'm the one that actually works on that. In fact, I'm changing this, you know, things out recently coming up. As, of course, I'll have to go on, and I plan to tag, mm-hmm. of course, your information. But I have a Facebook presence. I have a Twitter presence of almost 2,000 followers. And I also have Instagram. So I am promoting it, social media and otherwise. I was recently, I guess I could mention that I was on page 3 of the Richland Observer a couple of weeks ago, possibly. So if for any of you, I know my mother clipped out a couple mm-hmm. copies. You know how mothers mm-hmm. do. I have a copy for you, she told me yesterday. I said, okay, well, I expect that copy. But, I mean, you know, just to be able to promote it, and it's good. And in doing interviews such as this, I was also featured in the Life section of the Sioux City Journal, which they, you know, they have, I don't know what, 50,000 subscriptions. Mm-hmm. They're quite a larger city. And I had a wonderful interviewer, and he did a really, really good story, and he was very excited, and he likes to read, so that helped. That helps who he is, and that helps everyone who writes. You know, he's a good editor, is that so?
Let's say that somehow I could remove from you the complete experience of writing these 2 books. How would you be different?
I guess my day of sitting down at my computer and writing and putting my own thoughts and experiences and feelings and everything out there. And a part of me would probably be a little more verbal, which I don't know if that would be a good thing or a bad thing. You know? But to be able to have experience, there's so many experiences every single day, and to just be able to get things out and talk about things that really need to be, you know, the main reason for writing originally started with, I wanted to guide people in the right direction. And it's because of that misguidance at one point in my life that I want people to be able to know that even if you're in your darkest hours, there are people you could call, there are people that can help you. And maybe faith might not be a very important thing in your life, but you know, there's people that come to it every day and realize, where have I been and why was I thinking these things and why was I not more involved and more prayerful and more insightful as to what's coming in the next life. And that really was the original reason. I would feel that I need to, I guess with going back to being the verbal that I had laughed about, I would probably want to drive people in and say, hey, I pray with me. Or I want to pray for you, and how can I do that? If I'm not writing, I'm praying, and sometimes I think my writing is in prayer. If I draw one person to the church and know that they're going to go where they need to go in the next life, then I've done my job, I believe, as an author.
Are you more joyful as a result of your writing?
I am. Oh, my husband could tell you. He's not here mm-hmm. right now, but he could tell you. She's much easier to live with when I leave her alone at the computer. I just have to have that time to just sit down and get my thoughts, and then I'm whole again. There's just a desire. There's that I have to sit down and write something. And if I'm not able to do it, then I'm connecting with someone. I'm writing a note, sending a letter, doing some sort of connection.
Well, certainly, I want to wish you all the best in the future, but you are going to be here at our studios.
Yes.
And it's an opportunity. Now, your books, we have somebody that would like to know about your publisher or how they can get more information. Is your website, one of the best places to start if people can't come and see you here at the studio this morning?
Yes, you can certainly go to marybuford.com. You can go to, if you're interested in publishing yourself and you would like to know, you can click on the book information. It will give you, right off my website. If you are interested in knowing how to get a hold of those people, the absolute quickest way, if you click order, it will take you to their website page. So the first one goes to iUniverse, the second one goes to Lovestead Publishing. That's the direct way, and then you can go from there. And I mean, click away. I mean, instead of remembering a website or remembering things, just go to marybuford.com and just look for the books.
Is that what you search for on Facebook as well, is Mary Buford?
Mary Buford.
Okay,
yep.
All right.
Mary Buford on Twitter and on Instagram, I am Broken Wing Author.
Okay.
I have kind of the theme with the names, mm-hmm. and now my daughter says, what's going to be broken this time, Mom? And I said, I don't know, but I'm getting there, and I'm still working on that thought. Mm-hmm. So, of course, there's no namesake as of yet. So,
is there something you wanted to say today that I haven't given you the chance to?
Honestly, I think we've covered everything. My daughter also draws inspiration, some of the characters. So some of the Richland listeners may find their character or their namesake in a story. And I hope instead of feeling obligated to either live up to that character or otherwise, just know that you were being thought of, and as I wrote about you, that I prayed for you as well. My nieces and nephews are all in the first book. I had to just throw their names out there. I'm not going to mention them on the air, but they're all in there, and I know that my siblings feel like, oh, look, their names are in there, and oh, it's kind of cute. And so that's pretty much it. I mean, if I'm writing about you, if I'm thinking about you, whether it's your name or whether it's your personality, I'm praying for you as well. And if we do nothing more than accomplish meets and greets and maybe a prayer or two today, I'm good with that. I feel very close to people. I like I said, I go off of just life experiences. So if I've ever known you, met you, went to school with you, worked with you, you're related to me, you could just end up in one of my books.
Almost sounds like the lead-in for Candid Camera. Remember that?
Yes.
You just missed that last line. You will be here then. You can spend a couple of hours with us if people still would like to come in.
Yes.
So you can come right to our studios, come right in, and you'll find Tammy right in. We have a front room that we've set aside so that there's a table there. You can sit down, get your book signed. Again, $10 for the first book, yep. $15 for the second book. When will the third book be out? My final question for you today.
2017.
All right, next
year. I'm doing the rewrites right now.
You are.
I am. It's actually, I will give you a little bit of an insight. It's in a farming community in a small town in Richland County. There's even a Highway 14. I have not gone too far off the grid. I've renamed the town, though, to protect all involved, but... And there's a little radio station.
Is there really?
That she used to work at, and she's on a morning show. And if you think I'm kidding, get to chapter 2 of the next book. So, and it went along very well. So despite my nerves, I think we've accomplished.
Good deal. Good to see you. Best wishes for a bright future.
Well, thank you, Ron. I expect to be back one day.
Awesome. Again. I'll look forward to it. MaryBuford.com or simply stop down to the studio, certainly between now and noon. Can we say that? Will that work?
We can say, I have to have lunch with Mom. Hi, Mom, in case you're listening.
So, until it's time to go to lunch with Mom.
You're right.
You can come down and
I think people can respect that, Ron.
I think that's right. That's right. Hope you've enjoyed the program today. We'll be back with more tomorrow.